Thank you. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripraja Acharya Astotra Sattva Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Navadvip Dham ki jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So it is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here in this most auspicious place of the Panchatattva Mandir on the most auspicious occasion of the Mahagaur Purnima festival in the auspicious presence of so many wonderful devotees. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu gave such a wonderful talk that afterwards, when I was thinking about many different things that I could say, I discovered that they were all covered in his talk. So So I can't say much about his talk, and in my moment of crisis, I approached His Grace Tukaram Prabhu, and Tukaram Prabhu suggested that I could pick up a theme from the dramatic performances that we just witnessed. And the theme is very significant for bhakti. The theme is that Lord Chaitanya or Krishna or their servants do not look at the material features of the offering, but they look at the devotion. And however meager your offering might be from the material point of view, if it is offered with devotion, they will be pleased to accept it. And that it doesn't matter if one is rich or poor. What matters is that one accepts the lotus feet of the Lord within one's heart. And then it doesn't matter whether one is rich or poor, because internally he has the greatest treasure. I will start with an example from very close to home. When I was in Vrindavan recently, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a devotee who is extremely dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. Although he never took initiation from him, but he's extremely dedicated to him. His name is Peter Burwash. And Peter Burwash was a tennis champion who started a business of teaching tennis and also just motivating people to be their best at whatever they do. And he told me that when he was first visiting Srila Prabhupada, that whenever he met him, he would give him $300, which was quite a lot back then, and also he was just beginning his business. And Srila Prabhupada would receive the donation and, you know, sort of formally thank him and then put the donation aside. And Peter Burwash was thinking, you know, $300 is quite a good amount, and he's not giving me any special recognition. It's like his false ego was desiring more. So one time Srila Prabhupada came to the Honolulu temple, and he just stopped maybe for a day. And when he was just getting ready to leave, the devotees informed Peter that Prabhupada is here, and if you want to see him, you better come quickly. So Peter rushed to the temple, and Srila Prabhupada was already in his car, ready to leave for the airport. And Peter came rushing up, you know, in a very eager mood, and went to the window of Srila Prabhupada's car, and Prabhupada like rolled down the window like, yes, yes. So Peter put his hand in his pocket to give Prabhupada the $300. And when he put his hand in his pocket, he found that in the rush he'd forgotten the $300. So like Prabhupada was there, the window was rolled down, Prabhupada's looking at him, yes, you came running to the window, yes. And he's like, it's his hand and it's popping. And finally, you know, he dug deep inside. He came up with 78 cents. So he took out the 78 cents and presented it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, seeing his eagerness, and at that time there was no false ego, it was just a desire to offer some service. Prabhupada smiled and thanked him profusely. It's like all the appreciation and recognition that he wanted, he got. But not because of the money he gave, but because of the mood with which he gave it. Another incident, I happened to be present. Srila Prabhupada was, you know, staying at the unfinished home of a supporter named P.L. Sethi near the Juhu Temple. And he was on the second floor meeting with some of the leading devotees. And suddenly a laborer came to the door. It's like we don't know how he got there, but he was recognizable because he had like sort of muscular body and just had like a little white grayish cloth around his waist, and he was not the type of person that usually came to visit Srila Prabhupada, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And then he came forward, he walked past all the devotees in the room and came right up to Srila Prabhupada's table, and Prabhupada would always sit on a cushion behind his table, low table. And he took out a bunch of flowers that he had collected from the neighborhood and put it on the table and offered obeisances, bowed down, and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so choked up, he literally could not speak for some moments. And he just looked down, and he said that, this man, how did he know that I was here? You know, how did he find me? But somehow he found out and he got those flowers and offered them. And then he quoted that same verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Choyam Yome Bhaktya Priyachati, that if one offers me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water with love and devotion, I will accept it. And Srila Prabhupada said that even Krishna, he will accept such a small offering if it's offered with love and devotion. And I'm just an insignificant living entity. So how much more that offering would overwhelm me because I'm just so small. So this fact is very encouraging for every soul, every devotee, every soul, because we don't have to become something that we're not. You know, we don't have to, like we heard, we don't have to become a learned scholar or a wealthy businessman or a beautiful singer. But whatever you are, whatever you have with you, just offer that with love and devotion. And Lord Chaitanya and his, in any of his incarnations, will accept it, or in his manifestation as his devotees. We recently celebrated Ram Navami, And one pastime that Srila Prabhupada told was of Hanuman and the spider, although by some accounts it was a squirrel. But they heard spider, and so we're going to take it as spider. And so, as many of you know, when the great demon Ravana kidnapped Sita and took her to Lanka, Lord Ramachandra formed an army with monkeys, primarily monkeys, some bears. We're in California. even California was included somehow. And it was just him and Lakshman and these monkeys and bears and creatures of the forest. So in order to reach Lanka, the monkeys were throwing boulders into the ocean to build a bridge. And the boulders were floating. So there was a spider who was just like flicking little grains of sand into the water to form part of the bridge. And Hanuman, the great devotee, said, "Get out of my way! Can't you see? I'm doing very big service. I'm heaving these huge boulders, and you're just getting in my way. What are you doing?" And when Lord Ramachandra overheard that exchange, he was unhappy with Hanuman, and he said, "Hanuman, you are serving me to your capacity, and that little spider is serving me to his capacity. So in my eyes, both of your service is equal. And besides, I'm the one who's making the boulders float." So you can't take any of the credit. Actually, I'm the one who's doing it all. So we just have to be ourselves and, you know, give our hearts to the Lord and serve Him to our capacity, whatever our capacity is. And also appreciate other devotees who are serving according to their capacity, whatever their capacity is, and the Lord will be pleased. In the beginning of the movement, this year, of course, is a very special year because it marks 50 years since Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, and he began preaching in New York City. And eventually, the devotees got him a storefront, and he was having programs. And there was a drunken bum who had somehow come to the programs. Maybe there was a little prasad. Somehow he came. And so he was listening to the lectures, and he heard about devotional service. So somehow he got the idea. I don't even know where he came up with it, but he came in one day with some rolls of toilet paper, and he came up to near the podium where Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and he deposited the rolls of toilet paper in the bathroom, or near the bathroom. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased. He said, "Just see, he's begun his devotional service." So anyone can do service and begin from where, whatever position they're in. Now, it was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principle, as we've heard, that to taste Krishna consciousness and distribute Krishna consciousness. And that also can be done according to our capacity. Everyone can do it. Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Shamsundar's wife, Malati Matuji, had a daughter named Saraswati. And this girl would preach. At one stage we had quite a nice apartment in a posh area of Bombay, and all these like respectable gentlemen would come to meet Srila Prabhupada. And this little girl, Saraswati, maybe 3 or 4 years old, she would approach them and say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And then she would answer, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Srila Prabhupada said that this is preaching. That anyone can preach. Even a 3 or 4 year old child can preach. It's like we heard the wonderful story of the deaf and dumb person. He was like the all-time record breaker for first-time book distributors. So, yeah, there's no excuse. And really, we don't know what effect our efforts will have. But even if our efforts are not materially successful or externally successful, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or their representatives will appreciate the effort. One year in Mayapur, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking in the days leading up to Gaur Purnima, he gave the example of Jatayu, who was a bird, not an ordinary bird, but anyway. And he saw Ravana abducting Sita. And he was actually very powerful, but he was old at that time. And he thought that if he tries to get Sita from Ravana, he may or may not be successful, because Ravana was very powerful. But still, he felt that he must try to rescue Sita Devi. And so he tried. He attacked Ravana, and there was a fight, and he was very heroic in the fight, especially considering his age and Ravana's power. But in the end, he was defeated. And mortally wounded. And when Ram and Lakshman were passing through the forest in search of Sita, they found Jatayu. And Lord Ram glorified him so much. He said, "I love you more than my own father. You know, I love you so much." And then he did the last rites for Jatayu, just like a son does for a father. So Srila Prabhupada said that when we preach, sometimes the opponents are very powerful. And the opponent isn't necessarily a person like Ravana. In a way, the opponent could be Maya. Maya is very strong. The influence of Maya is very powerful on people we meet. But even if we're not successful, Ram will be pleased, Krishna will be pleased, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. And I found it, sometimes I would meet people who were very stubborn, and at a certain stage I understood, you know, they're not going to become donors, they're not going to become like members, they're not going to buy books, they're not going to give a donation, they're not going to do anything. But I felt that if I tried to wind up the meeting, it's a little different from when you're on the street, but I felt if I tried to wind up the meeting, they would think, oh, these people, they don't know anything. You know, I defeated them, you know, with my impersonalism, whatever. So I would stay. I mean, you always think maybe there's like 0.1% chance there will be a miracle and you'll get through. So that was also there. But the other side is I didn't want them to think like Prabhupada's disciples are fools who don't really know anything and can be defeated by some speculator. And you know, at the end of those meetings, I'd often feel quite disturbed. But I would find the next morning a lot of reciprocation, internal reciprocation, from Srila Prabhupada or from the Parampara. So that's the real point, to give our all, you know, to give our best, to give our all. And what the actual external result is, that depends on Krishna, or it doesn't depend on us. But if we give our best, Krishna will be pleased. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, once when I came back, it was my good luck that, and we find this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he would send out like Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, and then he'd want to get the result from them at the end of the day. What was the result of your preaching? So it was like that. Prabhupada would want to hear the result. So one day, it was very unusual, no one gave anything. Can't explain it, but I met many people. Pretty much no one gave anything. And Srila Prabhupada was, you know, he was, you know, compassionate and also philosophical. And he said that if you do your best, I think that if you sincerely do your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied even if others are not. And that's also a very important instruction, which I took in two ways. We do our best, people may not be satisfied. In other words, we may meet materialists and impersonalists. They may not be satisfied, they may not give anything. Or we may come back to the temple, and the temple president, or the treasurer, or the Sankirtan leader will ask, you know, what did you do? What did you bring back for us? And they also might not be satisfied. But if you sincerely try your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied even if others are not. So I think I will, I mean, another thing Tukaram said was to tell a maybe story about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so somehow one story comes to mind. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he traveled along the Ganges, towards South India. And on the way, he visited various devotees' homes to give them pleasure. And it's very interesting because at every home that he reached, the devotee was already in meditation on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were already wrapped in thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the object of their meditation turned up at their door. So one of the homes was Srivas Thakur's in Komarhata. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, Srivas Thakur went to Komarhata, perhaps out of feelings of separation. And so he also was absorbed in thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We saw him, he brought his best asan, best sitting place, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent some days with him. And after some days, he said to Srivas that, Srivas, I notice that you never go out to earn your livelihood. And Srivas Thakur replied, I have no desire to go out. Now this, but I'm sure you know this, Srivas Thakur is on a very high platform. I'm just telling the story. I'm not suggesting anything. I have no desire to go out. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, you have a big family. If you don't, you know, nowadays, if you don't go out, you won't get anything. You have to go out and bring something for your family. How will they, how will you maintain them? And Srivas replied, whatever they are destined to get, they will get. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, if that's your attitude, then you should take sannyas. And Srivas said, that also I cannot do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then, well, how will you maintain your family? What if no food comes? And then Srivas Thakur went, 1, 2, 3. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what does that mean? 1, 2, 3. How does that answer my question? Please explain. And Srivas Thakur replied that if for 3 days no food comes, I will take a water pot and tie it to my neck and fill it with stones, and I will drown myself in the Ganges. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these words, he roared like a lion and said, Srivas, what are you saying? Your family go hungry for 3 days? Even if the goddess of fortune one day becomes poverty-stricken and has to beg, you and your family will never know hunger. And then he quoted Ananya's Chinta, that one who is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna without deviation, he preserves what they have and carries what they lack. And then he called Srivas's younger brother, Ramai Pandit, and he said, I am very pleased with your older brother, Srivas, and you should always serve you. And that will please me very much. You should serve him as if he was the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya gave so many wonderful instructions. There was another devotee who was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited his house, it was the same thing. That Brahmin invited him in, and Mahaprabhu said, "What are you doing?" "I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam about the glories of devotional service. We would keep reading." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic hearing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam that he danced for 7 hours just listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, "From this day forward, you will be known as Bhagavat Acharya. And do nothing but what you're doing. Just keep reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and that will please me very much." And like that, he visited so many devotees and basically accepted their devotion and told them to keep doing what they're doing. Eventually he came to Panihati, to the home of Raghava Pandit. And he said, "Raghava Pandit, I want you to cook, prepare an offering for Krishna," because he liked to cook. And so he fulfilled all of his devotees' desires. He accepted all of their offerings of love. And he didn't ask them to do anything different from what they were already doing, but he asked them just to continue doing what they were already doing. So we're in such a blessed movement by Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara's grace. We have such a blessed process. We just have to trust in the process and do our best, whatever that is. And our best may vary from year to year, day to day, moment to moment. But whatever is our best at that particular moment, we should do. Our dear godmother Madhavisa Prabhu, who passed away just after last year's Los Angeles Rath Yatra, 1 year he gave a talk, maybe on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasapuja Day. Anyway, in his talk, he mentioned that often devotees would ask Srila Prabhupada what pleases him the most. And many times, Srila Prabhupada would give different answers, because the real thing that pleased him was the devotion. Of course, sometimes he would say, "If you distribute my books," sometimes, once he said, "If you love Krishna, that will please him the most." But on this one occasion, he said, "What pleases me the most is when you struggle for Krishna." Now that's something we can all do. In fact, we do. We struggle every day, either for Krishna or for whatever, but we're already struggling. And Madhavisa Prabhu was already ill, and he was saying, like, sometimes it's a struggle just to wake up in the morning, just to get out of bed. But if you undertake that struggle with Krishna, Prabhupada will be pleased. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us so many wonderful instructions, so much wonderful service. And if we just struggle to follow the process, like Vaisheshika Group said, just show up. Just show up. Well, sometimes that's a struggle. Just to show up, as easy as it is, just to show up, just show your face. Well, sometimes that's a struggle. But whatever it is, we should undertake that struggle and know that that will please Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our parampara. So yes, we've showed up and we've stayed. So we're already blessed. And if we stay for the rest, then we'll just get carried along further and further by this current of devotional service that's emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva, and flowing through disciplined succession through Srila Prabhupada and his followers to all of us. So, thank you very much.